If you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to Exodus, Exodus 34, and we'll be reading verses 29 through 35. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. And can we all stand in reverence for the word? If you're new here, we stand as we read God's word because we like to just carry on the tradition of the Old Testament saints when the book of the law would be opened up in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. God's people would stand. And so we just like to do the same thing here. And this is God's word, Exodus 34, beginning with verse 29, going to the end of the chapter. And this is what the Holy Spirit says to us. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again, until he went in to speak with him. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, which feeds us and encourages us, challenges us, and convicts us. Lord, thank you for taking us through your word in Exodus and learning so much about renewal. And God, I pray that what we have heard over these past few months would be upon the good soil of our hearts, that it would bear much fruit for your glory. And we pray for your Spirit to bring conviction and illumination and open our eyes in ways, Lord, that we can grow and we can apply your word in our lives. And so, Lord, be with us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So for those of you who may be visiting, we've been going through a series on renewal, spiritual renewal, gospel renewal, both as individuals but also as a church. And today we have our closing sermon on this sermon series on renewal. And just to kind of reflect back, like us pastors like to do, to provide the context, we began by looking at the need for renewal, trying to recognize that we have golden calves in our hands and in our hearts. There are idols of our culture that we still hold on to, and we need renewal just like the Israelites. And then we talked about steps towards renewal. Seeing our idols, seeing our sin, and not just as sin, but as great sin. But then moving on from there to see God, His glory, His goodness, His grace. And then just last week, we talked about rhythms and rituals for sustained renewal. And finally, in this last and final passage, God gives us a vision of renewal as we look upon Moses, who is in life-giving, light-giving fellowship with God. Now, the text says that the skin of his face, Moses' face, shone because he had been talking with God. And I really just want to focus in mostly this afternoon on that phrase there. And we find that God's glory was radiating from Moses' face. We might say that renewal was happening to Moses. Now, what is really noteworthy is that the scriptures make a point to explain why his face was shining. And it was because he had been talking with God. And here we have a picture of renewal. It is a man who is in fellowship with God. That's renewal. And when renewal begins to work in our hearts, its final destination is fellowship with God. And that's something that we need to be reminded of. Because sometimes we mistake in grace as the end instead of God. You know, we think about the gifts, the blessings of God, and then that's it. We think about the gifts more than the giver. We think about the blessings more than the one who gives us the blessings. The final destination of renewal, the very picture of renewal, is the man who is in fellowship with God. And you know, sometimes we move too quickly to serving God instead of first enjoying God and being in fellowship with Him. You know, a lot of times it's easier to do things for God than to be with God. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we just want a clean conscience. We just want to know that we've been forgiven because we're struggling with so much guilt. But the way it should be is that we crave so much for God's fellowship that it drives us to seek forgiveness. That forgiveness is not an end in itself, but we want to be forgiven so that we can be in fellowship with God. And so my point is this: it's easy to miss the big picture. It's easy to miss the big picture. But let's look at this beautiful scene here of Moses' shining face as he stands before God. And that, brothers and sisters, that is renewal. And so for our spiritual health, a great, helpful spiritual question is asking this: am I in fellowship with God these days? Am I walking with God? And am I enjoying God? I think it's definitely a deeper, more revealing question than simply, are you reading your Bible? And are you praying? Or are you serving? Or are you attending church? Can we ask ourselves that question today? Am I in fellowship with God? You know, I learned a scary thing early on as a pastor, that I can go days, weeks, even months of being busily engaged in spiritual activity, but experience no intimacy with God. Where you're doing stuff for God, but you're distant from Him. And what's scary is that a lot of times that is the norm. And the more uncommon thing is walking in fellowship with God. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We were meant to be in fellowship with God and to enjoy Him, even as we are called to obey Him and serve Him. Now, what does fellowship with God look like? Well, if we look at the text, we can learn. We can learn what it looks like. And for one, it's talking with God. What does that mean for us? It means praying. Yes, it means praying. Praying to Him. Formally and informally, structured and spontaneous, short prayers, long prayers. But it's praying out of a relationship with Him, not to get things from God. We're praying our worries and our fears and our anger and our frustration and our weakness. We're praying all those things. And we're praying because the one who hears us loves us. Praying because you want to draw near to God. Praying because His presence is your greatest joy. That's fellowship with God. And the second one, the second part, I should say, of what it looks like to fellowship with God is not only praying to Him, talking with Him, but it's beholding Jesus. Now, if we look at the text in Exodus, we're going, where's Jesus there? Now, I want us to think about that end of verse 29, that phrase there. The skin of His face shone because He had been talking with God. Now, I want you to take that phrase, remember it, keep it in the back of your minds, and I want us to turn to the Transfiguration. of Jesus. Can you turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew 17? And we'll read the first three verses of Matthew 17. Again, keep the end of verse 29 in the back of your minds. And this is Matthew 17, 1 through 3. And look at how Matthew narrates this story. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. We have here Jesus' shining face. And then Moses and Elijah show up, and they're talking with Jesus. And you get a sense that as Moses and Jesus are talking, there's a familiarity there. They're talking like old friends, as if this was not the first time that they had spoken on a mountain. And it's not a throw-in phrase there at the end where Matthew says this, and they were talking with him. What's Matthew doing there? He's telling us what was going on back in Exodus 34. Moses was talking with Jesus on Mount Sinai, and Moses was beholding the face of Jesus. And Moses' face was radiating because he was talking face to face with Jesus, whose face radiates like the sun. Moses was reflecting Jesus and all his glory. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he picks up on this. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. Turn with me there. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Paul says that the fellowship that Moses had, we also have as we turn to the Lord. As we turn to the Lord, we with unveiled faces behold Jesus. We behold Jesus. And then if you go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, just a little later, Paul's still thinking about the same things. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Christ, we are blasted with the fullness of God's glory. You want to see God's glory in all its splendor, you just simply look at the face of Jesus Christ. And that is who Moses was looking at on that mountain. And if I can get practical here, we behold Jesus best through his word. Because the Bible is all about him. The Bible was written to take us to Jesus, to basically take us to the mountain that we would behold him. Now, there's a variety of reasons why sometimes we'll read the Bible and it doesn't take us to the mountain to see Jesus. Because sometimes we read it to do ministry. We read it so we can teach somebody else. As pastors, sometimes we read it just to preach. We read it to equip ourselves to disciple someone else, but that's what it becomes. You know, for some of us, we read it for morality. Okay, I'm going to read my Bible so I can improve on myself and I can be a better person. There's truth to that, but is that primary? No. Sometimes we read it for wisdom in decision making. So we have this big, important decision that we got to make, and so we go to the Bible and we open it up and we're asking God to show us the way. And sometimes we read it just to say that we've read it, because that's our righteousness, reading our Bibles. And sometimes we miss Jesus as we read. Now, how do you know that you've beheld Jesus when you read your Bible? I think that's a great question. And I think the Apostle John helps us. If you look at John chapter 1, verse 14, this is what John says. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And he says this, "And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so John is saying, I've been on that mountain too. And I've seen Jesus. And I've seen his glory. And it's full of grace and truth. When we encounter Jesus, we encounter his grace and his truth. We encounter grace. We encounter the love of God, the tenderness of God, the forgiveness of God. We come and we see the meekness of God. We see that his yoke is easy and that his burden is light. And we also come and see truth. Truth about who God is. Truth about ourselves. Truth about the world. Truth about what is right and what is good. And the thing about truth is that it's beautiful. Truth is always beautiful. And when we behold Jesus, we see his beauty. And we realize he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If you come away from your Bible reading guilt-ridden, condemned, and full of commands, somewhere you're missing Jesus. The Bible is all about him, and his glory manifests in grace and in truth. Well, as a result of being in fellowship with God, Moses, his face was shining. And that cause and effect there is so important. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible. Sometimes we can kind of just skim over it. But his face shone because he was talking with God. We need to see that connection. Being with God is life-giving. It is renewing. I think we've all experienced that dynamic on a human level. There are some people that we hang out with, and they breathe life into us. We're spending time with them. It gives our souls a boost of strength and energy. And we walk away uplifted and we walk away renewed. Relationships are not just a fact of life. They give us life. And that is no truer than with God. The more we behold his glory, the more we reflect it. And it almost happens simultaneously and we don't even realize it. But the more we behold God, the more we reflect his glory and we are renewed. And in the Old Testament, only Moses really got to enjoy that. But this is something that now all of us can enjoy. And the Apostle Paul makes that super clear. If we go back to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is what Apostle Paul says. "And we all now," not just Moses, "but we all now with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord." So we behold him and he says this, "and are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Beholding Jesus transforms us into his likeness. You know what is the substance of the glory that we reflect? It is Christ's likeness. And that's what Moses was reflecting from his face. It was this beautiful, pure, and holy Christ likeness. And there are several places in the Bible where we get these wonderful, short summaries, beautiful summaries of Christ likeness. One, the Beatitudes, poor in spirit, being meek, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. I know I'm not saying all of them, but that's Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we can be sure if those are increasing in our life, so is renewal. And then I think about that love passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Keeps no record of wrongs. And as we increase in those things, we know that we are being renewed. Let me say this. Renewal is not in finding yourself and becoming more your authentic self. Renewal is finding Jesus and becoming more like Him. Renewal is not found in success. Renewal is found in a person, Jesus. A dream house, dream spouse is not going to change you. Jesus is. And this is why church is important too, because Jesus says, I'm there. Meet me there. That's the temple. That's where I reside. And we go to church because we want to meet with Jesus. And as a church, we need to take hold of that promise. Oh God, be with us every time we meet. Jesus, you be the point. You be the center. The reason why we're getting together, so that we can meet with you. That we can know you. That we can see you in all your glory and splendor. Well, at the end of verse 29, it says, Moses did not know that his face was shining, which I thought was pretty interesting. But in some sense, it makes a lot of sense. Because spiritual renewal is a funny thing. Sometimes people notice the change in us even before we do. And it's not too different from physical growth. For all the little children here, you're probably sick and tired of all the adults looking at you every week and going, wow, you've grown so much. And for you, you're just thinking, have I? Have I really grown? You can't even see it. But other people can. And they're saying it all the time. And they're saying it with joy. You know, it's so wonderful to see, you know, that physical growth. And sometimes the spiritual life is like that as well. Others often notice our spiritual renewal even before we do. Perhaps the best authority on our spiritual state is other people. And what people might see perhaps might be more accurate than what we see. It's so important to be surrounded by a spiritual community. You know why this is so important? Because sometimes we can unnecessarily be discouraged about our spiritual life because of only what we see. But when you have a spiritual community, they can see perhaps even more clearly the different ways that God is working in your life. One of my great joys as a pastor is helping people see the beauty of Jesus and then seeing the transformation that happens. And that never gets old. It is my joy. And I'm so thankful that I've been at this church for so many years and I've seen the transformation. And it's so wonderful. Even the past couple of weeks, just meeting with certain people and just telling them out of joy and not embellishment or exaggeration, but I've seen you grow. Sometimes people are in denial when I say that because they're thinking about their sins and stuff like that, and sometimes they can't see it. But I love having that job to show people and to say to people, you've been growing whether you realize it or not. I see it. I see it in you. It's one of my greatest joys. And it's important that we have people around us because a lot of times, again, they can see things that we cannot. Maybe some of you are saying, I want renewal. I do. I so desperately want renewal because I'm so sick and tired of this godless lifestyle. I'm so sick and tired of the emptiness of this world. I'm so sick and tired of living according to my own truth, and it's not working out so well. I'm shriveling up as a human being. And life is so empty and it's so meaningless. And I want to be right with God, reconciled to God, reconnected in fellowship with God. But maybe some of you are asking this, will God take me in? Because I'm so ugly and rebellious. And will God take me in? Because I've been into some bad places. And my sin is habitual. And I've done things that would turn people away from me. Will God take me in? And maybe some of you are feeling like the people of Israel who were afraid to come near. Can I come near the glory of God? The Israelites were afraid. But I want you to see what Moses does from his standpoint of glory to their fear. What does he do? It says, but he called to them. They were afraid. But he called to them. He called to them. Yes, he called to the rebellious, idolatrous Israelites. And he called because he's simply reflecting God's glory and grace. Yes, he calls Aaron, the ringleader of the golden calf fiasco. And he calls the leaders and the congregation and the whole congregation. And we see that God called them and they drew near. And here we have a glorious gospel moment in the Old Testament. And God calls us even now, you and me, despite our track record, despite our sin, he calls us again. Though we are afraid, God calls. And we can draw near through repentance of our sins and turning to the Lord. And what happens when we turn to Jesus with unveiled faces? We behold his glory and we're transformed from one degree of glory to another. When we turn to Jesus, transformation happens and renewal happens. Brothers and sisters, let us be so captured by this vision of renewal. Being in fellowship with Jesus and becoming like him. Let that be the desire in our prayers. And let that become a beautiful picture and summary of our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and we thank you for Jesus. And God, we do pray that through this word and just this brief meditation on your word, that we have been taken up to the mountain to some extent. That we see Jesus in his glory, perhaps more specifically in his grace and in his truth. And Lord, let us enjoy Jesus for who he is and for what he has done for us. He is the King and he is also our Savior, the one who loved us and died for us. The one through whom we have forgiveness and fellowship with you, Lord. And Lord, as we take time to take eyes off of ourselves for once, and as we behold Jesus, renew us. Take us whose hearts are so shriveled up by the emptiness of this world. Take us and reform us, reshape us, and renew us into the beauty and image of your Son. Let us turn to him with all that we have through the power of your Spirit and do this work. In Jesus' name we pray.